Lunchtime Live with Andrea Gilligan on News Talk.
My next guest was diagnosed with MS at just 22 years of age, and now 30 years on, Samantha McCarty is still teaching yoga and determined to share a message of hope and resilience. Samantha, you're very welcome to the programme. Thanks very much for joining us here today. Will you bring us back, Samantha, and maybe tell us a little bit about your story when it first started those years ago?
Hi, Andrea. It's really lovely to be on your show talking to you. Yeah, so as you said, it was the journey itself started about 28 years ago. So at the time, I was a young mum in a new relationship, and I was on my third year on my co-op experience from college. So life looked really good, full of possibilities, and to be fair, it still does. But I began to become unwell in ways. So I suppose when I go back and step back in time, Andrea, I think about what I believe was one of my first symptoms, which was blurred vision. But at the time, Andrea, I was teaching. I was out in my co-op. I was teaching computers. It was, I don't know, did you remember back to the information age times back in 1997, sorry, Andrea.
Yeah.
And there was lots of talk around IT. So the youth service that I worked with had gotten a brand new IT suite. I was really conscious of keeping it all in order. And I just felt that because I was teaching computers and I was spending a lot more time with IT, that was probably the reason for the blurred vision. So I remember at the time pulling a lot at my eye, but I dismissed it. And I, to be honest, I didn't even get it checked at that time. And I would say that was probably October, November 1998. And then on Christmas Day, a day I'll never forget, I developed sciatica, and it just came out of nowhere. I was fine Christmas Eve, I was fine Christmas morning, and by Christmas Day evening, I literally couldn't come up off the chair with the pain. So I'm always really, really careful, Andrea, when I'm talking about the initial symptoms and the diagnosis, because what I talk about, people can have that anyway. So people can experience blurred vision, they can experience numbness, they can experience sciatica. It doesn't necessarily mean that you're about to get a diagnosis of a chronic condition. It's when they all come together. Yeah. So I would always say, if there's any changes, get them checked. So the sciatica lasted, I'd say, about 3 weeks. By God, if anyone's ever had sciatica, it was 3 long weeks.
Yeah.
And I needed a lot of support that time in terms of just general mobility. But as life always does, you quickly forget illnesses when they go away. And I just carried on when the symptoms abated. And then by March of 1998, the blurred vision came back. But almost in tandem with it, I developed Bell's palsy. Again, another symptom that people can have on their own. And for us, the Bell's palsy and the blurred vision were just something that we were watching. And then we had a bank holiday weekend, and the blurred vision had gotten quite severe. So I went to my local opticians and they did a field test. And they were concerned, but didn't really say anything. But I've always been really impressed with them, because by the time I went to the doctor the following Tuesday, they had rang him, Andrea, just to say, look, we had a young patient of yours in this week. We are concerned about her vision. Optic neuritis is one of the telltale signs for young people that there might be a suspicion of multiple sclerosis. So I just felt they were really on the ball. And my doctor wasn't surprised when I arrived into his surgery on the Tuesday morning. And a lovely man, the time of family doctors, where it was easy to get an appointment and you got seen quickly. But he was a big man. And I remember he put the eye chart up on the wall. And he said, "Listen to me, Sam, will you tell me what you can see on the eye chart?" And I just looked at him and said, "I can't even see you holding the chart in your hand." So he then asked me to go out into the waiting room. I was 22 at the time. He asked me to go out into the waiting room. And when he called me back in, he handed me a letter. And he said, "Listen, will you just bring this over to the A&E department? They might run a couple of tests and just see what's going on with the eye and why you have the Bell's palsy." And I said, "Do I need to pack an overnight bag? What do I need to do here?" And he said, "No, you'll be fine. Just go over and let them do what they need to do." And really unlike me, Andrea, very unlike me, because I'm very by the book, I opened the letter. Just curiosity got the better of me. It's just so out of the norm for me to do something like that. But I remember all that jumped out for me was suspected multiple sclerosis. And I didn't really understand what it was at the time.
Young, Samantha, as you said, 21 years of age. And what was going through your mind when you read that on the letter on your walk over to the A&E?
Well, I opened it on my own on the way down the road to my mum, who was minding my little boy at the time. And I knew, I'd never heard the word MS before, and I knew it was something to do with the brain and the muscles. And from what I remember, I feel that I remained fairly steady, because when I got to the house, we think looking back that my grandfather and my great-grandfather may have had MS. However, it would have been Mam's first time hearing the words that day as well, when I came back into the house. And just calmly, the two of us just said, "We'll get my sister to mind my son Dylan and we'll walk over to the hospital." And I suppose it was that opportunity to just stop and walk that gave us the time to think and breathe as we were walking over the road. So when I did arrive at our local hospital, and they were amazing, but they were really, really reassuring in that they were looking at me going, "Sam, it's 100 things before it's MS." Yeah. It could be.
And that
anything.
All had to be, they had to obviously do all of the tests, and you subsequently got that diagnosis, Samantha. But, you know, here you are 28 years on, and I know that you're very keen to, you know, I suppose really for anybody listening today that is maybe recently received a diagnosis or perhaps those are symptoms that resonate with them, it's about sharing your story of hope, really, isn't it? Like, I mean, you know, 28 years on, as you say, teaching yoga, all that comes with day-to-day life and the resilience that you've kind of shown over those three decades.
Yeah, I'd like to think that I've learned a lot about life and about myself as the years have gone on. Me personally, and I say this really with empathy and with respect, my drive isn't to find a cure for MS. My drive is to keep my MS where it's at. And that's what a lot of the medication is doing for us. It's stopping the development of new lesions. And really, the hope for us all is to be able to maintain our quality of life, our relationships, our mental well-being and resilience, and our ability to physically move. And for me, I suppose, I find in my life that where I have found that is in the ability to try and look after my mental health. And I did many, many years ago, as a result of a change in medication, I developed severe depression, Andrea, and I saw firsthand how when my mental health was not good, the MS just ramped up 100-fold.
Really?
And I literally could not get out of the bed. I had my dad at one side of me, my husband at the other side of me. The curtains were closed. I could not go. I couldn't even get out of the bed one day to go to the doctor. And that was because I was mentally unwell at that particular time.
And the holistic, you know, kind of approach has obviously really helped you, by the sounds of it, Samantha, to manage that.
Amazingly, Andrea, because it just allows you, or it allows me, to pause, to breathe, to connect inwards with myself, to find my feet and my balance and my steadiness. And that is through, I suppose, slowing down. And in my case, finding a yoga mat. And there's a lovely, lovely saying. I don't know where I heard it from. It was probably in another yoga class. If you want to get out of your head, get into your feet.
Yeah.
And for me, that's incredibly powerful. But it's also not running away from what's going on in your head, because we need to learn to deal with the challenges as well. And for me, it's yoga. For others, it's medication. It really doesn't matter, as long as we prioritise our mental health as much as our physical health.
Just maybe, Samantha, on a final point today for anyone listening that, you know, maybe has recently received that MS diagnosis, or they too are dealing with MS day to day. What advice would you give them in terms of trying to, I suppose, deal with it as kind of maybe openly as you have?
I would certainly look at opportunities to speak about it. I've never hid away from the fact that I have MS. Mm-hmm. I've spoken to employers about it. I've spoken to friends about it. And it's never been a barrier. We have the MS Society nationwide who have facilities, peer trained development workers. We're now looking at, I'm an ambassador myself for MS Ireland, and we're looking at supporting the training of peer support workers. I would definitely get in touch with the MS Society, who can put you in contact with people with lived experience, but also who have access to the information about the supports and services.
Good advice. Samantha, thank you so much for joining us today on the programme. Great to hear you're doing well and keeping well, and we really appreciate your time in sharing the story with us today here on Lunchtime Live. The email, as always, is lunchtimelive@newstalk.com. That is Samantha McCarthy, just sharing her own story with us today on receiving her MS diagnosis.
Lunchtime Live with Andrea Gilligan. Weekdays at midday. On News Talk. Conversation that counts.